Good morning.
Good morning.
Please note that the order of worship for our service today you will find printed in the service bulletin beginning on the bottom of the first page. We open our service with prayer. Lord God, we come before you with joy. For in view of your grace, we have been given the gift of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Without these gifts, we are lost sinners. With them, we are your children and heirs. Move our hearts, O Lord, to respond to your love by giving ourselves to you, repenting of all evil, and pursuing only that which is good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, welcome to the service today on this fourth Sunday in Lent, a service in which we'll be reminded of how in the Old Testament there are very many beautiful and graphic pictures and foretellings of Christ's death on Calvary, his cross of sorrow for us all, including the story of the brass serpent lifted up on a pole in the desert. He's speaking about that in the sermon today. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we've sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger,
nor discipline me in your wrath.
For your arrows have sunk into me,
and your hand has come down on me.
For my iniquities have gone over my head. O Lord, all my longing is before you.
My sighing is not hidden from you.
But for you, O Lord, do I wait.
It is you, O Lord, my God, who will answer.
I confess my iniquity.
I am sorry for my sin.
Do not forsake me, O Lord.
O my God, be not far from me.
Make haste to help me. Glory be to God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. All glory, praise, and blessing to God the Holy Trinity for planning and sustaining our faith in him who sets us free, on whom our trust is founded, our house built on a rock, our life by grace surrounded, our shepherd's precious flock. Dear children, to him clinging, who welcomed once again, join saints and angels singing, Amen, Amen, Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we have in no way deserved your goodness, you still abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. Give us, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness toward us, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you with willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
First of our Bible lessons this morning is recorded in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Here ends the first lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Our next lesson is recorded in John's Gospel. We read there in chapter 3 a portion of Jesus' night visit with the Pharisee Nicodemus in the city of Jerusalem. It's recorded in John 3, 14 to 21.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Here ends the second lesson.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
I invite you to stand as we now confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God and Father, to him be glory, honor, power, and dominion now and forever. Amen. The word for our consideration today is recorded in the book of Numbers in chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. So far the text. Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, the Lord Jesus himself disclosed the significance of this remarkable incident from Old Testament history. He, in that interview with Nicodemus, which we read about in our gospel, told him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Jesus was disclosing to Nicodemus and to all who would hear the story later on the monumental truth that just in the same way as the Israelites found healing from the venom of the vipers in the Sinai desert, rescue from death, just by looking at the snake Moses put up on that pole, so also all those snake bitten by that ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, as John describes him in the book of Revelation, will be restored to perfect spiritual health, will obtain fail-safe protection from the sin poison that the devil injected into their systems, just by looking with eyes of faith on the one lifted up on the cross. That's today's theme on this fourth Sunday in the Holy Lenten season, as we draw close to Holy Week and the festival of Jesus' triumphant resurrection on Easter. Look, fix your gaze on Jesus with a heart of faith and live. Now, this incident happened about 2 years after the events that we considered in the sermon last Sunday. You may recall we talked about the Lord's giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Under Moses' direction, the people of Israel left Sinai and they continued on their way. And all through the duration of their trek, the Lord had placed on display before them an abundant evidences of his goodness. He blessed them. By this time, by the way, their number had grown to like over 2 million people. That is why the book from which our text is taken has that name, the Book of Numbers, because the Lord had instructed Moses back in chapter 1, you can read about it, to take a census of the people, to number them, and it came to be like over 800,000 men, adding in children and ladies. Came to be about 2 million people. And all through this time in the desert, the Lord, with his love, had supplied rich supplies of all that they needed. Special bread called manna that appeared in the morning on the ground, furnished them with water to keep them hydrated. He saw to it that their clothes never wore out and protected them from the hostiles, the armies of the surrounding pagan nations. And all this, though they had frequently demonstrated thanklessness, ingratitude by grumbling, saying at one point, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost us nothing, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Now our strength is dried up and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at." And that's when the Lord, what did he do? In love, he graciously supplied them with meat by sending those little quail birds to fly into the camp every evening, so that they could catch them and cook them up for food. And now at the time of our text, they arrive at the borders of a land called Edom, south and east of the promised land of Canaan. And Moses dispatched messengers into Edom to request of the king very graciously or kindly, if you would just let us travel through your territory. We won't go through any of your fields or vineyards, and we won't drink any of the water from your wells. We'll stay on the king's highway, go all the way through. If we take anything, we'll pay you for it. The Edomite's response was, no. You may not pass through our land. And if you try, we're going to come out against you with a vengeance with our armies. And so the Israelites had to go on a detour, travel a more difficult route. And it was as they were traveling on this detour that they again started to criticize the Lord and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no food or water, which was a lie. And we are sick and tired of this worthless manna you're giving us. The Lord, as we noted, had provided them everything they needed so graciously and generously, kept them as the apple of his eye, and now they behave and act as though he'd been treating them meanly and unfairly. That's when the Lord, as a severe punishment for their sinful belly aching, sent poisonous vipers into their camp that bit many of the Israelites, and many of them died. Now, this grumbling that we hear about of the Israelites in the desert, that's a graphic illustration, isn't it, of the natural proclivity of humans from the days of Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God and took of the forbidden fruit. The poisonous venom of the serpent, Satan, of sin that has infected humanity so that all people are predisposed towards their naturally programmed in the direction of not doing good and thinking good, but bad, even about the Lord their God. We recall what Moses wrote about in the account of the flood, right before the Lord sent the waters of Noah upon the earth. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Many other scriptures teach this too, that all people by nature, lost in sin, and through the duration of their trek through the desert of a sinful world, are heading not in the direction of life in the heavenly promised land, but in the direction of death, death in hell. There are those who believe, you know, God, if he really exists, he wouldn't punish sin so severely. But we know, we've learned from the scriptures that, you know, unless the Lord of love provided lost humanity with an antitoxin for the deadly sin venom, they would die forever in hell. The soul who sins is the one who will die, writes the book, or the prophet Ezekiel in his book. As we stand, friends, in spirit on Mount Calvary during this Holy Lenten season, and we look up at the one hanging on the middle cross, wounded, bruised, bleeding, pierced, forsaken of God, suffering in the midday darkness, the sun withholding its light, we see, don't we, the dread reality of the lethalness of man's sin sickness and what its penalty truly is. We understand what the hymn writer was talking about when he wrote, well might the sun in darkness hide and shut its glories in when God, the mighty maker, died for his own creature's sin. And it's here we also see to our blessed relief and comfort what the Lord did to provide us with the remedy for the devil's sin venom. We see him who in his justice and holiness must punish sin with death, also in love providing sinful humanity with the cure for sin and bringing them life. And that's the blessed truth the Lord was sharing with the inquisitive seeker of the truth, Pharisee man Nicodemus, that night when he informed him that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. Is cluing Nicodemus into the joyous truth of the gospel. And I'm going to go as a willing, uncomplaining lamb to the cross to provide you and all people with the antidote for the serpent's lethal sin venom with which you have been infected, something that God had pictured centuries before when he provided the Israelites with healing by the serpent of bronze that Moses put up on that pole. Look and live, Moses told them. Look with faith, trust the power of your forgiving, all-merciful God to make you well. And all who did that suffered no adverse effects from the deadly snake bite. Now, a question might be asked, how could anything good come from looking at a snake forged of metal and put up on a pole? How ridiculous to think that you're going to get helped and cured from a deadly snake bite by doing that. Similarly, the message of Christ crucified on the cross for sinners may seem like, and we know it is regarded by worldlings as a foolish remedy. How could that work anything positive for anybody? The Holy Spirit, friends, has blessed you with faith that recognizes and knows that's how you get cured. The simple look at the Savior, highly effective remedy with a success ratio of one person cured for every person treated by the Lord. Rejoice in that. Praise him for the powerful antitoxin that he has provided and administered for your soul's health in his holy word and in the sacraments, the same way he gave life to the Israelites through their glance of faith at the bronze snake. He's given you life now, life forever in heaven. We deserve but grief and shame, yet his words, rich grace revealing, pardon, peace, and life proclaim. Here their ills have perfect healing, who with humble hearts believe. Jesus sinners does receive. And keep on looking and keep on marveling. Think about this for a moment. And if you were diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor, someone came to you and said, no need to go undergo painful surgical procedures, no chemo treatments, just when the doctor comes into the room, look at him. Cancer will be gone from your body and you'll be okay. Or to switch the picture up a bit, imagine you're a homeless person walking down Wadsworth Boulevard past one of the banks on the highway, and someone walks over to you and says, just walk into the bank building and look at the person behind the counter, and all the cash in the vaults will be yours. Or you're an incarcerated person in prison for crimes you've done. You're on death row, and someone walks up to your cell, looks at you through the bars, and says, the governor's coming for a visit. When he arrives, just look at him, and he will grant you clemency and allow you to go free. Sound impossible? Well, in this world, perhaps, yes, but it's exactly what Christ has done for us in the highest sense, freed us from the prison house of sin, bestowed on us the treasures of his grace, treated our souls with the perfect remedy for our sin sickness, and all for a simple look of faith at Christ. Wow. Also, for your encouragement and further rejoicing, friends, remember Paul's words in Romans where he writes that if God did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, will he not also then surely supply us with everything that we need during our life journey? So as you continue your sojourn through the desert of the world towards your ultimate destination, the heavenly promised land, know the Lord will indeed provide you with lots of manna and quail and clothes and water, that is to say, with all your daily bread needed items. And also on the unplanned and sometimes unpleasant detours that he calls upon you to take, he'll do that so that you never need worry and there's never any reason to criticize the Lord for how he's leading you. But God ordains is always good. His loving thought attends me. No poison can be in the cup that my physician sends me. My God is true. Each morn anew, I'll trust his grace unending and my life to him commending. So yeah, look to Calvary, keep gazing upon the Savior, and find in his wounds peace, strength, and inspiration for your walk of Christian discipleship. Look to him, ye nations, your own, your God, ye fallen race, look and be saved through faith alone, be justified by grace, see all your sins on Jesus laid, the Lamb of God was slain, his soul was once an offering made for every soul of man. And to him all glory, praise, and love be now and ever given by saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation and uphold me with your free Spirit.
Let us pray. I desire to offer one special petition in advance of the altar prayer, and a general petition asking the Lord to bless those in our midst, especially our fellow Christians who have been dealing with various health issues. Ruth Clays, Pat Newton, Marty Schmolt, Georgia Waters, and Julie Ann Zamora. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every day of health and strength that you've given to our fellow Christians and for every measure of strength that you've granted their bodies and minds. We come to you in their time of physical testing, asking you mercifully to restore their health and strength according to your will. We ask this of you because Jesus died for us, and it is for his sake that we can come to you with our petitions. Help our afflicted brothers and sisters to use their days of health as well as moments of suffering to the glory of your name. God of love, anoint all who are sick and injured with your balm of healing. Forgive each one his trespasses. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. O God, we praise you for all your mercies. We thank you that you have redeemed our lives from destruction and crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercy, that you've not dealt with us according to our sins nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Because of your rich grace and mercy, you've given your only Son to be made sin for us, to shed his innocent blood, and to die for our transgressions, that we might have eternal life. Grant that we who are gathered here for worship will seek you while you may be found, and call on you while you are near. May sincerely repent of the evil in our hearts and lives, forsake all sinful thoughts and ways, and be assured of your abundant forgiveness because of Christ's death in our behalf. And since you, O Lord, are aware of the needs of all people, providing daily bread for both the righteous and the ungodly, keep us mindful of the daily care that you give us, and enable us to receive your blessings with thanksgiving. O Lord, cause your gospel to be preached in all lands and in every language. Maintain your church the world over in union with Jesus Christ, and cause the truth of your word to prevail everywhere. Bless our Christian schools with teachers who acknowledge and serve you so that the students will excel in all useful knowledge, and especially in the saving knowledge of the grace of Christ. Give wisdom and counsel to all who have authority over us in government, so that we may worship and serve you without hindrance and live in peace and righteousness. Deliver us from the works of the wicked. Preserve us in all dangers through which we must pass. We pray for all who suffer sickness, pain, disease, or affliction, or any adversity of body, mind, or spirit. Give them the strength of faith that will enable them to bear their cross, and the Spirit of Christ, who taught us to say with our prayers, "Thy will be done." In his glorious name and for his kingdom's sake, we pray. Amen. We also join in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. 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 Rock and tower. Grant that in trust, knowing death has lost its power, since you crushed it in the dust. Savior, let your agony ever help and comfort me. When I die, be my protection. Life and resurrection.